Hello, friends. Welcome to the Logistics of Logistics podcast. My name is Joe Lynch. Thank you so much for joining us today. On the Logistics of Logistics, I talk to experts in logistics and transportation, warehousing, fulfillment, supply chain, and of course, technology. And during these interviews, I'm always the one asking the dumb questions. I ask the dumb questions so you don't have to.
Today's topic is freight recession, opportunity or threat, with my friend Steve Elwell. Steve is the founder and managing director of iDev Partners, a boutique leadership, business strategy, and turnaround consulting firm. My friend Steve has been on the podcast multiple times because he consistently brings thought-provoking leadership ideas and a practical approach to complex issues. The freight recession is here. We all get to decide whether it's an opportunity or a threat. Leaders like my buddy Steve know it is an opportunity. So please take a listen.
How's it going, Steve?
Hey, it's going pretty well. How are things going on your end?
Going great. So please introduce yourself and your company and where you're calling from today.
I'm Steve Elwell. I'm the founder of iDev Partners. We're a crisis management and turnaround firm. We help businesses in logistics, manufacturing, and business services. We're headquartered in the Detroit area and enjoying the NFL draft of last week.
Very nice. Steve, you also, your claim to fame is you were my very first guest on the Logistics of Logistics. So thank you so much for doing that.
And despite all that.
And at that point, it was very much a favor to get someone to come on my podcast. But we muddled through. It was good. So thank you so much. We also did a podcast that I know they used it in one of the negotiating classes, I think Grand Valley State University.
I'll tell you what, this has been a lot of fun.
Yep. The freight recession has not been fun. So I want to, we'll talk to that in just a minute. But before we get into the freight recession, tell us a little bit about you. Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? Some career highlights before you started iDev Partners.
I grew up in a little town, Adrian, Michigan. I went to school at Albion College. I studied economics and management. And then I went to downtown Detroit to Wayne State for an MBA. After that, I worked for a manufacturing company doing sales, service, applications engineering. Left there and became a retained executive search consultant for 11 years, hunting down senior executives for manufacturing and service businesses. Really the same, a lot of the same people we serve now. Then a friend of mine whose name happens to be Joe Lynch introduced me to a gentleman who owned an engineering services business that was having an enormous issue with business development. They had lost 70-80% of their business overnight. And then we came in and worked together to bring it back to life, where we subsequently started some companies, bought some companies, and eventually sold the business. And then afterwards, then the consulting started. So I was pulled out of there to do business development consulting for a software business. And then subsequently, I ended up running three or four different companies as a CEO or COO on an interim basis. And eventually getting involved with larger businesses in the billions of dollars to help them to improve their operations, improve their profitability, cash flow, excellence, and so on. So it's been evolving over the last 15 years or so.
Yep. And I will say, Steve, we talk quite a bit and you've always given me great advice. And same on the podcasts we've done together have always been very well received because you have great insights. And I've said this before, and your education, but a lot of it is when you were an executive search guy. And really since then, you've always been at a very high level. So it's how you think and how you see the world is different. And again, I think that's what we need right now in this very difficult time in the freight biz.
Everything starts with the people. Tools are of no value until someone puts them in their hands and then uses them, and how well they use them has a big impact on what the outcome is.
Yep. So today's topic, freight recession, opportunity or threat. We talked about this the other day, and then we talked about when we were prepping for this podcast, and I'm excited to talk about this. And I'll set the table a little bit here. So we're in a freight recession, and 6 months ago, everyone was 6 months, 8 months ago, saying fourth quarter of 2023 or first quarter of 2024, we will hit rock bottom and then start going back up. now I've been talking to people who think we might be at the bottom. And, but again, this is, everybody's trying to use their crystal ball stat. I just spoke to them the other day. They think we're hit the bottom, but we're going to scrape along the bottom for a little while. And the recovery for the freight business is maybe first quarter. And again, everybody puts a caveat. Maybe it's fourth of, or 2024, or maybe if it's in late second quarter of 2025. And we can see this data is everywhere. And when I told you this the other day, we were talking about it, and you said, yeah, but that's not the point. You said, that's just the weather. Please explain.
It is. There's an awful lot of discussion about macro because it's available. Information's there, and it's a common thing. Everyone's experiencing it. The problem with that is that everyone's experiencing it. Everyone has to deal with the same weather. And it's really not a function. Your success is not a function of the weather that everyone is experiencing. The difference is what creates the success. And that's all about what you as a business owner, you as an executive are doing in response to that weather that everyone is experiencing.
Yep. And in the title today, freight recession, that's the common theme. We're all experiencing it. If you are a freight broker, you experience, if you're a small carrier, you're experiencing it. 3PLs are experiencing it. Shippers probably see some advantage to some of this, but they want healthy partners too. And when we were coming up with the title, you said, this is either a great opportunity or threat, depending really first and foremost on your mindset. Please elaborate.
When you experience adversity, when anyone, you immediately get a choice. And in the opening and discussing about the freight business, it's the prognostication is happening and what's going to happen next week. This thing is going to end in a year, whatever it is. No one can forecast the future. It is that there are indications at best. And really what you're doing is, if you're not doing anything in response to that, to advantage yourself, then what you're doing is you're betting your farm on the accuracy of somebody else's prognostication. Now, in my world, and I'm all about take control of the situation. Make some decisions about bettering your situation today. Don't wait around trying to ride it out, hoping that it won't last so long that you starve to death as a company.
Yep. Steve, we're both in Michigan, Detroit metro area, and we have weather here. I know some people are listening in other parts of the country, in California, and saying, oh my God, what's weather like? You mean where you can wake up this time of year, it's April, it's been beautiful here, but it could snow today. We both know that. It could easily snow or be 75. It could be perfect today, or it can be bitter cold and you say, I can't believe the ice age began. And if you decide that your happiness and your success is going to be based on the weather, you're going to be unhappy because you don't get to control that. Now, you might be disappointed a little bit. I was really hoping to go for a long walk in the beautiful sunshine, but now it's sleeting and the sun's never going to come back here. You can still make that a great day. It's very much a choice. And we're used to that. Most of us are used to that here.
And it is a choice. It's a choice of, are you going to have a good, is it going to be enjoyable? But it's also a choice of your survival. And the freight market has a lot of small companies in it. It's got some very large companies in it, all who have different resources available to them, money, talent, technology, brand awareness. They all bring different tools to what's happening. So the experience of being an aircraft carrier in a storm is completely different than being a tugboat in a storm versus a fishing vessel or container ship or something else. If you're the captain of any one of those vessels and you're not paying attention to the weather and you're not taking action in response to that, right, you've got a problem on your hands. Now, the action that each of those individuals is going to take will be completely different because of the what they're sailing on, the resources that are available, their susceptibilities. But you must take action.
So the wrong thing to say is we're down, but look, the whole economy's down. The whole economy isn't down. it's not the best economy, but it's really, we're a little bit in a recession. But if even the largest company, and some of the largest companies are the most impacted by this because they're so big, but a lot of smaller companies are saying, what can we do, right? It's bad times. This is where leadership comes in. And this is where a leader, you're not there for smooth sailing. You're there to take control of that ship, using that analogy, when the weather's bad. When the weather's good and you can hold a beer and steer and then hand it off to the 10-year-old kid in the boat who wants to steer, that is not when we need true leaders. We need true leaders now, and it's a little stormy and the wind is uncertain.
Yeah, and their function is they know where they're going. They know how to get there, and they have the skill to do it. And that's the key to all this, because that's where the vision becomes action. And the action is the thing that changes the situation on the ground. And that's what matters. No one cares how big the wave is. They care whether or not the ship made it to port safely.
Yeah. It's very easy to just get sucked into, especially when I talk to a lot of technology people who sell to trucking companies or 3PLs, and everybody's who they're selling to is a little bit like, when things get better, I won't mention the names, but I know a number of companies that are doing very well in this downturn. I had Ann Renke from TIA on my podcast a month or so ago. And she said, I think it's 66% of their customers are doing better. So they have categories at TIA. And she said, I think 66% moved up a category. Oh, either were the same or better. I forget the exact. But I guess my point is, you can do better in this time. And we have seen a history. The business history has captured this, many different stories, where companies started in the depths of the recession or depression and thrived. It can be an opportunity or a threat. It's up to you.
The job of the leader is not to go with the flow. To go with the flow means to stay the same as you were yesterday and the day before. Your job as a leader, a business leader, is to create an impact that takes you somewhere better than today. Now, if you're in a down market or an up market, each one of those things presents an opportunity for growth and profit. They're just different. And if things get rainy or things get sunny or whatever is going on, your job as the leader is to prepare your company to do the things that are necessary so that business can succeed and grow no matter what's happening, or at a minimum, diminish the negative impact of something that's going against you. But you can never stand still. That's just throwing dice.
We discussed this also while we were prepping for this, is you and I've noticed, maybe it's all this gray hair we're getting that we notice these things. But sometimes you hear people saying, oh my God, because of the government, this president, that president, and now we're getting an election season. And people act as if their life is dictated by who's in Washington, D.C. You're like, dude, all you do is vote every 4 years. And then you act as if somehow I can't because this guy, I can't. Or this negative mindset, right? And you hear it also, climate change, just whatever's going on. There's always something that you can point to that is making your life miserable. But that's a choice. This is our grandparents and great-grandparents would look at how we're living today and the opportunities we have and go, oh my God, you're so lucky. And to some extent, they didn't have hourly, minute, up-to-the-minute news to tell them that you should be miserable or happy based on what's happening in a city far away from you.
But right.
That's a bad habit we've gotten into, which is acting as if this macro environment we live in, that's an easy thing to do, and it's the wrong thing to do.
It's the wrong thing to do. Look, the games that we're playing are relative games, okay? So what matters is not the point of the weather, right? The point of that analogy is that's an overall thing. That's a third party situation. You don't win or lose because of the weather. You win or lose based on what you do compared to what your competitors are doing. And you don't need to be perfect with respect to the weather. You just need to be better than those guys. And so the person who responds best and fastest, and this goes back to Colonel Boyd and the OODA loops and who can decide faster and make something happen quicker and better and more clearly, that person wins. And you need to act, but you have to act. Sitting still is not an option. It is to some extent, but it's not one that's going to potentially be very good.
Steve, we all know a leader in our life. Maybe it was when we were kids or our parents. Maybe you have a great leader that you're working with now, or we're in that leadership position. We all have individual leadership. We're responsible for ourselves. And the ones that we admire, the ones that you go, oh yeah, I would run through walls for this guy. There's guys right now who, if they called me and said, hey, Joe, I need you to get in the car and drive over here right now and do this with me, I'd be like, yes, I'm doing that. We all have people like that in our lives. And they're the ones who, when things were falling apart, they didn't fall apart. They said, no, we're going to be fine. We're going to figure this out. And that's what a leader's expected to do. A leader's not expected to say, what are you going to do? Times are bad. We're in a recession, don't you know?
Right. And that's the first step, deciding that you're going to do something. Even if you don't know what it is, you decide to do something. And then then you have to make some decisions about what you think you should be doing. Where do you think this should, what am I going to play for? And it's a lot of folks are not used to doing that. I hear that quite a bit.
Yeah. So Steve, I want to summarize here real quick and then we'll continue on. So we're talking with my friend Steve Elwell, and we're talking about the freight recession. Is this an opportunity or a threat? So the freight recession, we all was hoping it would end by now. It was supposed to end in the first quarter, maybe even the last quarter of 2023, but it seems like we're reaching bottom, but we might scrape along the bottom for a few quarters. And that's based on what some of the things I've seen from Ryder and DAT and FreightWaves and all the leaders in the space. Jason Miller, over the weekend, we were sharing some stuff. Jason Miller over at Michigan State, he's had some interesting insights on it. Nobody knows for sure, and they would all say that, but we seemed like this is scraping along the bottom until maybe first quarter of next year, maybe give or take a quarter. And we have a choice. We can look at this as an opportunity or a threat. And leaders look at it as an opportunity. And they say, yeah, we might have a little less resources. We got to be a little more careful, but this is an opportunity. So what should they be doing, Steve?
So the first part of this is what we're talking about is volatility. Okay. We're talking about changes in the market. You have a set of resources that are available to you and you need to take a good close look about what, in terms of what you have and what the level of volatility is. That's the first part. What am I working with? Then you're looking for opportunities, and those opportunities are going to come from your customers. You need to be very attuned with what your customers are doing and what they want. And you need to be engaging with them as much as possible through as many channels as you possibly can, because you need to have your thumb on it, because the volatility is going to show up there first. You need to increase and improve the quality of your service, excellence in all things. And the reason for that is that you control that. You control whether you have excellence. You control your people. You control your processes. You control the values of your company, and the value that you create is very closely tied to the level of excellence that you provide. And then lastly, you have to be efficient, because the money matters. And being efficient means eliminating waste. And I don't mean that eliminating waste to the point of fragility. I mean, stop doing things that are wasteful. Manage your workflows. Do it in a way that allows you to make money when no others can make money. Because as a result of this freight situation, the pricing is being impacted in a pretty serious way.
Yep. So what we're doing is we're taking a look at our customers, and customers are a little more dear in downtimes because we've lost a customer or two, or they're slowed down, or we're not getting the same margin we did on the business. So we need to look at each customer and say, yeah, definitely they're a little more dear. Let's not lose them. Let's really double down on serving them, which means let's talk. Let's understand what we can do to make that a better service for our customer. And then the other day I was talking to Jim Waters and he said, in times like these, you need to do, this is very basic, almost too basic, but it's what's true. Do more of the right things and less of the wrong things. And
absolutely right.
You could go right now with your team into the conference room at the whiteboard and say, as dumb as it sounds, what are the wrong things we should stop doing? And maybe it's little things that you did when things were good and it's a cost now that probably it maybe doesn't add any value for your customer or hinders your team from doing something. Maybe it was a good idea at the time, but no longer makes sense.
You can't be dogmatic. Things are changing. Things are changing quickly. And what was true yesterday isn't necessarily true today or tomorrow. Right. And are you paying attention? Right. That's a huge part of this.
Right. It always reminds me when I was still in automotive, when you're launching a vehicle, it's crazy because at the end is when all the parts are coming onto the car for the first time and you discover just hundreds of things that are a little wrong. It's making a little squeak every once in a while, or this is going on. And then we put on launch band-aids, which launch band-aids could be a little piece of tape here, a little piece of foam here. Just we reworked a part over here. And each one of those launch band-aids are expensive. A piece of foam, you go, it's only 4 cents. It's 4 cents times a million cars, right?
A gazillion. Yeah. Yeah.
And so the launch band-aids all go on when you're in the heat of the moment. And you got to launch the car and we're going to get the JD Powers is going to assess that vehicle. And then right afterwards, a lot of times a lot of the guys get pulled off the project. And then there's a lot of times younger people get pulled onto that project and it's their job to fix, they don't call it this, but fix the launch band-aids, get rid of the launch band-aids, which sometimes redesigning the part and it takes money out. And what happens in good times in this business is we develop a whole bunch of extra costs that maybe made sense because, this is great new technology. Are you using it? Maybe it's time to reassess and maybe you don't need it anymore.
Yeah, it's not just logistics. It's all businesses. It's human nature to, when things get good, to be able to back off a little, to do a few things, take a few liberties, this sort of thing. And then when it turns the other way, it's painful, is you have to strip some of that stuff away in order to recover your cash and profitability. And it's like, okay, we've had a good time. Now we got to get serious again. And for those businesses that survive, and most of them will, they'll be like, okay, times will get good again and happy days are here again and the parties will start all over. And
it's what happens a lot of times in this. If you're a small trucking company, maybe you leased an extra two trucks when things were good. And now you say, oh, we're not going to renew those leases. It feels a little bit like retreat and surrender, but it's just repositioning yourself, fortifying yourself for the next fight.
You don't get paid the big bucks to do the fun stuff. You get paid the big bucks to do the things that stink, that are unpleasant. And the wisest management will look ahead and recognize that these things are cyclical. And while times are good, they're planning for when times are bad. And they're building their businesses in such a way that they can be ramped up and ramped down to fit the situation. And the businesses that do that fastest, those are the ones that are the most successful. They recognize the problem early. They say, oh, a change is coming. We reposition so that the problem becomes an opportunity. And then while everyone else is panicking, these people are managing their business. They're doing their work. They're getting ahead. And then at the end of all of it, when things get better, the competition will look up again and see these people further ahead than they were before and wondering how they did it.
Yep. And it starts with leadership. And so you're doing this current state assessment with a real focus on the customer and how we add more value for that customer and ideally a little more margin. And then again, the very simplistic, but What are the wrong things you're doing that you can say, we're no longer going to do this? And what are the right things that you're doing where you say, let's do more of the right things?
Those are the best things. Those require no creativity. That stuff is found money. And it's so you walk out into your business and you pull somebody aside and you say, how are we wasting your time? What do we have you doing that you don't think you should be doing? And you can get lots of answers for that because there's tons of it.
Or it starts with asking yourself, what am I doing that no longer makes sense?
Exactly. And, you know, because everyone's going to make my life easier. And it will. That it's a really nice way to find some cash and find some capacity without having to go through some sort of management program that costs money and is a distraction and all that other stuff.
Yep. Yeah. And Steve, getting back to it, this takes leadership. So we have this current state assessment. We come up with some sort of plan. It doesn't have to be super advanced, but it has to be, here's what we're going to go do. And then, of course, planning means nothing without taking action. Please elaborate.
Oh, if planning in lieu of action, that's as old as the hills. It's a dodge. Look, plans mean very little. And the most important thing is to understand where your destination is, because there are many plans that will get you where your destination is. The question is, which ones can you do? So I'm a fan of broad planning, budgeting, this sort of thing. Hey, do we have enough resource? Do we have enough cash? Do we have enough people? Things that have long lead times are things that we don't necessarily control. And then putting together the 3 to 5 steps that will get us to where we need to be. And then we waterfall that down into the various levels of the business. But it's always 3 to 5. We keep it short, keep it to a quarter, keep it to 2 quarters, so that we keep a tight rein on this thing and the planning itself doesn't become a gigantic management activity or a department. You know, especially, so if you're doing it in times of plenty and you've got a PMO or you have a huge organization where you have a PMO.
PMO is a project management office or program management office.
Yeah, you've got, at that point, you've built a function. You've built a support function to keep your planning and execute. And that's okay, fine, for complicated things, makes sense. But if you're a smaller or medium-sized business and you're trying to execute quickly because, hey, guess what? The market's going to turn, or I'm going to run out of money, or something else is going to happen. You need to keep it real tight.
Yep. Steve, by taking action, and again, this we've all experienced this in our own personal lives. Think about the times when you said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to reorganize the garage. I'm going to finally sit down and look through my bills and pay them and get rid of subscriptions that I don't use anymore. All of us have those. And it feels good. It feels like positive momentum. When you're sitting around procrastinating on those things where you say, I really should reorganize the garage. I really should go through my bills to make sure I'm not going to get in any trouble here. It feels bad. Taking action feels good. And it is the remedy for feeling helpless and feeling, what can I do? The sky is falling. The economy, the freight recession's here. I can't do anything about it. When you start planning's important, but actually taking action feels good. It feels right.
So you use the word should, and there's a beautiful thing about the word should. It comes with an enormous sense of entitlement. The world should be the way I want it to be. This should happen. No, it could be that way if I take action. If I do my part in this endeavor, the tomorrow could be this way. I'm not owed this. And as a leader, as anyone in a company, your job as the leader, your job as the manager, is to bring about the world that could be, not the world that should be, because you're owed nothing. We only get it when we act, which is the key to this whole thing.
Steve, as you were saying that, it reminded me, we have a good friend, and his dad was a top CEO. I don't know if he still is, but famous CEO. And he raised his sons by saying, fair is a kid word. don't say what's fair, because kids always love to say, hey, that's not fair. And they would say, fair is a kid word. And that's the same as should. This should happen this way. If the world was fair, it's not.
I got run over by a car. That shouldn't happen. Of course it shouldn't happen. But I stood there and let it happen. Wait a minute. Whose fault is that? It's these could versus should. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal. Because what we're trying to do as leaders and business people is bring about the preferred future.
Right. Steve, I'm going to get to the next point, which is a little self-serving for you, but it's the idea of outside help. Why? I know this is a lot of what you guys do. Why is it helpful in these times to have outside help like you?
It's funny, and this is going back through my whole career, and we all suffer from it. It's the issue of perspective. We have our own perceptions of things. We see the world through our own eyes and our own experience, which is incredibly limited, mine included and my people's included. But we go to different places. We see different things. We deal with different situations. And when we come to a new one, we bring the experience of industry. So if we're coming to the logistics business, we bring the logistics, we bring manufacturing, we bring technology, we bring all these things along with us. And as a consequence of it, we see the business differently than the people who work there every day. And it's not to say that it's better, but it's not, certainly not in the detail, but it is different. And it's different in ways that are meaningful and useful. And it's not just logistics, it's any business. That's the other part of it is that because we haven't made the decisions that led the business to be where it is, we're not personally invested. And this is not just us, this is all outsiders coming in. There's an objectivity that comes with it that says, look, you know, these decisions were made, and good consultants and good outside help won't be judgmental about that. They'll say, hey, look, you did what you did because it didn't work out. Okay, fine. No big deal. Take the lesson, try something new. And then the other part is there are different ways of doing business that predominate in different industries that relate and can provide a source of innovation for a different industry. So you learn new things. That's not even getting to the point that, again, we're the harbor pilot. We've been in these situations dozens and dozens of times and know how to get from point A to point B.
So when you say you're the harbor pilot, I know that's an analogy we've used. It's those big container ships or the big break bulk ships, when they're coming into port, those captains never dock those. They have a harbor pilot. Please explain.
So the greatest captains, and they're wonderful people. They're extremely talented, very experienced. Whenever they come into a port, a little boat comes out and a harbor pilot gets off the boat in the waves. And the videos on this are pretty interesting but they get on the boat and they're the ones who drive the boat into the port. And the reason they do that is because they know the waters around the port. They know the currents and the shoals and all the issues that are associated, the wind, all the things that are associated with coming into that port. They're specialists in that thing. And the captain of the ship doesn't do that. He relinquishes control to that person. And it's in every port around the world where that happens. And there's a reason for it. And it doesn't diminish the quality or the skill of the captain. It's testimony to that man or woman's good judgment.
Yep. Yep. I love it. I'm going to summarize, then I'm going to get your final thoughts. So today's topic again is freight recession, opportunity or threat with my friend, Steve Elwell. And we all know there's a freight recession. It's covered everywhere. We've seen J.B. Hunt announce their less than stellar results. And they're not the only one. We see Ryder has put out a monthly report that has some very good information. Jason Miller, my friend Kevin Hill over at Rush Pass. We've all seen the data. And when we start looking at that data, it's important. But you can't take too much of it to heart because it can give you a sense that what can I do? The whole economy's down. The whole risk, the whole freight market's down. Second point, we have an opportunity or a threat. It's up to you how you view that. If you want to view this as a threat and kind of just hold on tight and hope to get to the end when things turn around somewhere in the first quarter next year, give or take a quarter, that's fine. A lot of us do that. It's not the right thing, though. And the difference between seeing this as an opportunity or a threat is the difference between being a leader and not being a leader. Leaders see this as an opportunity. They say the water's a little rough. I'm using another analogy. I don't care. We're going to thrive during this. We're not going to just hope to be okay. We're going to win. That's leadership. And that leader should be going and saying, let's do an assessment beginning with our customer. Let's make sure our customers are happy with what we're doing. Customers a little dearer to these moments. We should be nearer to them. That's also looking at what are the right things that you're doing in your business? Do more of it. And what are the wrong things? And can we get rid of some of those wrong things? And then after you have a plan, you need to take action. If you plan and don't take action, it's even more depressing. So I think the plan is more important. I'm sorry, the action is more important than the plan. You want to do both. And then the last thing, outside help. It sometimes helps to get people like Steve to come around and say, hey, I got fresh eyes. I got a different perspective. Let me be that harbor pilot. Let me help you get through this difficult time. Doesn't have to be a massive engagement. It can be short and sweet. I think that's the way Steve likes them. And get you back on track so you can win during this time rather than hang on and hope for the best. Put a big old bow on this one, Steve Elwell.
We don't want anybody surrendering to anything. We want people out there. We want to help them find the will, find the plan. We want to execute on that plan and be surprised and happy about what happened. And we've got a lot of experience doing that kind of thing with a lot of businesses. And in the logistics space, I think, as you're aware, at least on the growth side of it. So yeah, and we partner with our business, we partner with our clients.
Yeah. And Steve, it's funny, in this day and age, there's so many technologies where people show up and say, oh, this technology will help you sell more. And this technology will reduce your costs. And we've all in the logistics space, we've all embraced those. Some work great, some work a little bit, some don't work at all. But you aren't bringing a technology in so many ways. You're bringing a mindset. And I know you've used the term to me, chief encouragement officer. You go, half the places I go, you talk to the people and they go, yeah, I know what would fix that quality problem. It's this. Why aren't we doing it? The old boss here, and it's some stuff that you look at. It's, you could call it low-hanging fruit, but it's stuff that you go, we made huge gains very quickly because it was a focused engagement to quickly get results.
People know, most of the time people know. And when I deliberately use the word surrender. And the reason is because oftentimes you hear people, you'll talk to them initially and they say, oh, we can't do that. And they'll show you the palms of their hands as if someone has a gun on them. And at that point, they've given up. And the job is to get them to re-engage, to say, look, tomorrow is better than you think it is. You can do these things. These are possible. They're doable. Other people have done them. We've done them. And we've faced far worse than this and came out far further ahead. You just have to engage with it, believe a little bit, feel what should happen, and not accept the bad things in your life.
Right. It's that fear. Fear does some things to us. If you think you're going to lose your job, or if we have another bad quarter, I could lose my job, or I have to tell people they've lost their job. Those things feel horrible. And sometimes we don't take action because fear does that to you. It takes your creativity away. It takes and take a deep breath and you can get it back.
There's nothing to fear. So this is the thing about it. We live in a country where people come here all the time and they succeed wildly. We have friends from Ukraine. We have friends from Romania, friends from India, all over the place. And these people have come here and in less than a generation are floating around on yachts. And I'm not floating around on a yacht, and shame on me because I was born here and had every opportunity that they didn't have. There is nothing to fear. This is the greatest country. This is the greatest economy in the world. And to be able to participate in that is enough to be able to get you everything that you might want physically in this world. And we don't need to be afraid. Again, we help people find their courage. We help their organizations find their courage. We don't sell that because you can't sell that. But that's a feature of what happens.
I saw a CEO over the weekend say, and he's a little hokey, but he was CEO of two Fortune 500 companies. And he said, CEO stands for change equals opportunity. And then you use the term sometimes, chief encouragement officer. And you go, these are not super fancy tech thinking. This is empower people, tell people it's going to be okay, and let's take action. Again, I think that the overall message here is this is a choice. You can look at this as a really difficult time, or you can look at this as a time you'll look back at and go, when everyone else was panicked, when worried, we were taking action, and that's why we won.
Look, most of the things that you talk about, technology and a lot of these other things, can be learned in a book. You can buy training.
Or on a cool podcast.
Yeah, or a cool podcast. That stuff is relatively accessible. And it's not super difficult. What is difficult is, what makes leadership so difficult is that there's an inner dimension to it, ego and all the rest of this. It's hard work. There's a penalty to it. And it's real, that goes well beyond money. And in a lot of ways, it's unsexy. The reality of being a leader is very unsexy. It can be very fulfilling, but it's not the thing people talk about. People want to talk about the CEO and his private jet and all this stuff. And that couldn't be further from the job.
Yeah. It's easy to spend the money once you make it.
Exactly. Look, you're there as a leader to make your people's lives better, your customers' lives better, your family's lives better. Everyone you touch as the leader needs to be better because of your involvement.
Yep.
If you're doing a good job.
I love it.
And at the same time, because you're dealing in a dynamic environment, up and down, competition, all these things are changing all at once. You have to be aware of it. You have to have your finger on the pulse of all of that. You have to have plans, a ready confidence, in order to deal with what comes along, whether it's a little thunderstorm or a hurricane or a little bit of freight volumes are down or prices are down or whatever it is. You get surprised and you find yourself with not a lot of resources, not a lot of money. There's ways around all this stuff. These problems have been solved by other people who are nowhere near as smart as your listeners or your viewers or either of us. And they've done it successfully over a long time. So take heart. These are opportunities. These are great times.
Yep. I love it. So, Steve, I'll put a link to your LinkedIn profile, link to your website, and any other links you and your marketing team give me. I'll put those in the show notes so people can reach out and talk to you. And what I'll also do, I think Steve's probably been on my podcast more than anybody, but I'll put a link to some of those other episodes, which one of them, again, some negotiation class picked up and uses it in their class, some college. I think it's Grand Valley State University over in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, my son made me aware of that.
Yeah. So Steve's been a great guest, and we'll put I think we did another one that people really like, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. There's a whole bunch of good stuff that you've done in the past with us. So we'll put those links in the show notes so people can take a listen to those episodes. And Steve, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It is always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. I couldn't be happier that this has done so well. I really couldn't. So it's fantastic.
Thank you. I always say it makes my job easy when I have great guests. And I normally have great guests, except for, oh no, probably not a good idea. No, I've had a really good run with great guests. So anyway, thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe.
And thank all of you for listening to my podcast. Your support's very much appreciated. Until next time, onward and upward.
You have been listening to the Logistics of Logistics podcast, where we engage with leaders in the logistics and supply chain community. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, hit the like button, and leave us a nice review on Apple or Spotify or wherever else you listen. Also, please check out our videos on YouTube and connect with us on LinkedIn. We're very big on LinkedIn. And you can also reach us on the logisticsoflogistics.com, our website.